Om Agyanati Manandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshuan Militami Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Angum Nangayate Garim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurandina Tanalam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saman Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'd rather listen to Prabhupada chant japa. I'm going to speak a little bit today about our initiation that's taking place. I've been asked to speak a little bit about initiation. I'll try to tie that together with the topic that I chose to discuss. I wanted to read a little bit from a short reference. It's actually from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he speaks about what does it mean to follow the parampara. When we think of initiation, it actually means being given the opportunity to become connected to the parampara. That connection is manifest in the form of receiving proper knowledge, and actually in the Pancharatrika system which we are following, there is process of making progress is tapa, pundra, nama, mantra, and yoga. First one accepts some austerity in Krishna consciousness. Actually is not that we have to undergo some physical torture, self-torture or austerity. In fact, I was once in a lecture Prabhupada gave in Mayapur in 1976. Prabhupada was saying, speaking about austerity, he says, we do not need to sit in blazing fire in the middle of the summer. Neither do we have to submerge ourselves in the water, in the cold water in the winter. These types of austerities, he said, are not necessary. He said, our austerities are to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And by following the instructions of the spiritual master, all austerities are automatically included. So, in a Pancharatrika system, there is tapa, which begins with austerity. And austerity means to follow the instructions and to render service to the Supreme Lord through the medium of the spiritual master and the service to the Vaishnavas. Pundra means to decorate the body with Vaishnava tilak. And then nama means that we accept the name. And we're also given a name that helps us to remember Krishna. At the time of Harinam initiation, one receives the holy name of the Lord with faith. Lord Chaitanya has said, Shraddha Shabdi Vishraskahi Sujita Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Karma Kaya Sava Kama Kutta Haya. He says that Shraddha means firm confidence, faith, that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, all of one's subsidiary duties can be fulfilled. Shraddha, he defines this as faith. Conversely, even if we perfectly perform all our duties and we neglect chanting the holy name of the Lord, then they remain unfulfilled. And Bhagavatam also states that even if one perfectly performs his prescribed duties, then still, if he has not taken shelter of the holy name of the Lord, what is that verse? Chaktvas svadhanam charanam bujam hare bhajana pakho tapate tato yadi. Narada Muni says to Vyasadeva that one who forsakes his occupation to engage in the devotional service of the Lord, he may fall down in an immature stage, but there's no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, even though he's perfectly engaged in his occupational duties, doesn't gain anything. And then the next verse, another important, very, very important verse, Narada says to Vyas. He says, my dear Vyas, even though a devotee may fall down somehow or other, he certainly can never become a fruitive worker again, because anyone who is once engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, he'll never be able to forget that ecstasy again and again. Narada told this to Vyas because, which is our parampara also, we have Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, that is our parampara that we are connected to in the Brahma Sampradaya. And when Vyasadeva was feeling despondent, having compiled the depths of Vedic wisdom and separating the Vedas into four, and then compiling the Vedanta Sutra, and still he was feeling despondent, not satisfied within his heart, and Narada appeared before him and told him the cause of your despondency is you've given so many opportunities for people in this age to, in the name of religion, to perform so many different types of sacrifices, but you've bewildered them by all these different methods of worship. And you simply give them the essence of all the Vedas, and you write your own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is recommended to give Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to give direct access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And by giving direct access to Krishna by his pastimes, then in this way, one who comes in contact with Krishna and becomes attracted to a devotional service to the Lord, he may give up his worldly occupation to engage in his devotional service, but he won't fall down. And even if he falls down at an immature stage, there'll be no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, if he's perfectly engaged in his occupational duties, he doesn't gain anything. And why? So, because if one comes in contact with Krishna, and even for a moment, tulayama lave napinasvaganam napanambhavam, the value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to elevation to heavenly planets, to result in good birth, liberation to matter. In the same way, this value of association with the Lord, Bhagavatam emphasizes in so many places that what is the value of a prolonged life which is inexperienced, wasted by years in this world? Better one moment of full consciousness, because this will enable one to search after his ultimate interest. So Narada Muni was trying to convince Vyasadeva, give them essence, give them the essence, pure devotional service. And right from the very beginning, the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam states that all Kaitava Dhamma, all of the cheating religions have been rejected, have been kicked out from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam has simply given the essence on every page is pure devotional service. So, Shraddha Shabdi Vishwas Kehe Sujida Nishchaya. Shraddha means firm, confident faith. That simply by chanting Hare Krishna, then my other duties can be fulfilled. And conversely, as we said, even if I perfectly fulfill all of my duties, but if I neglect chanting the holy name of the Lord, they'll always remain unfulfilled. Although they may be fulfilled on the material level, as terms of one's spiritual fulfillment, there'll still be a vacuum. Because as Bhagavatam states, the need for the soul, savaipung sampado dhammo yato bhaktiradhoksaje, that the sages of Naimasharanya gathered together, they wanted to know what was the supreme occupation for all mankind. And Sutta Goswami says, supreme occupation is that by which men can render devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated, uninterrupted in order to satisfy the self. So even if we perfectly execute our prescribed duties, the self remains unsatisfied unless there is faith in devotional service to the Lord. So we're speaking about tapa, pundra, nama, then mantra. Mantra means when one takes the diksha mantras. Lord Chaitanya has stated also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what is that word? I forgot that verse. Excuse me one second. Oh yes. Krishna mantra haite. Krishna mantra haite. Pabe bhuvan mochan. Krishna nama haite. Habe Krishna racharan. So Lord Chaitanya says, Krishna mantra haite. Pabe bhuvan mochan. That Krishna mantra is the mantras that one gets at the time of initiation. They are meant to actually bhuvan mochan, to actually purify our existence, to cleanse our existence so that we can become purified. Of course, a purified existence doesn't simply mean all perfection is there. And therefore, Krishna nama hoite, as Lord Chaitanya says, Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishna racharan. But the holy name of Krishna brings one to the lotus feet of Krishna. Yeah. We may become purified. The analogy is given just like one may become freed from sinful reactions. It's the whole story of Ajamil when he chanted the holy names of the Lord, chanted the name of Narayan. He became free from sinful reactions. He chanted Namabhas. And he was given the opportunity to continue living and to fully engage himself in the service of the Lord and become fixed in service to the lotus feet of the Lord. So to become free from material contamination is like getting a passport. If you get a passport, you can leave the country, right? You have a passport. But if you want to go to a particular place, most cases you require a visa. So if you go to some country and you say, oh, here's my passport, but they'll open it, where's your visa? I don't have a visa. Oh, but I left my country. But where's your visa? You can't get in. So similarly, if we become purified from our existence, yes, that's our qualification to leave. But where are we going to go? Krishna nama hoite, Babi Krishna racharan. We have to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. And by taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord, that's our visa. Krishna racharana. We find ourselves going to the lotus feet of Krishna by firm faith in the holy name. And even the mantras that one is given at the time of mantra diksha, their validity, their potency, is because within the mantras themselves is Krishna's name. It is Krishna's name that has all the potency. Of course, there are other aspects of the mantra which are meant for purification. And Prabhupada even explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that generally we find that devotees, that even though they're chanting the holy name of the Lord, they become restless, and therefore in order to purify them and give them, help them to become properly situated in their chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it is helpful for them to worship the deity. But in order to worship the deity, our method, the Pancharatrika system, is tapa, pundra, nama, mantra, then yaga, then worship of the deity. One has to receive the Vaishnava mantras, the Diksha mantras, prior to worship of the deity. And by worshipping of the deity, then, of course, both purification is there, our life becomes regulated around the worship of the deity, our life becomes centered and focused on the deity, our activities that we perform in our lives, such as our daily work, and our accumulation of wealth, our maintenance of the family members, the offering of the food, it is all meant for focusing on the deity and purifying our existence while we chant the Hare Krishna mantra as well, which brings us to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, we are at the time of second initiation with the devotees today. Actually, there are three devotees today. My assistant Adi Shyam Das is also hitting his Gayatri mantras today. He's also taking initiation. And as well as Kanai Priya and Shyamohini, they are also going to get their Gayatri mantras. So, as we said, when these mantras are given at the time of initiation, then the devotees are given seven mantras. The first is the Brahma mantra, Brahma Gayatri mantra, which is actually a Vedic mantra. And all sampradayas, usually the first mantra, the Brahma Gayatri, is given. It's not only in the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara that the Brahma Gayatri is given. And it is described as the Vedic mantra. But there are six additional mantras, which are the Pancharatrika mantras and the Pancharatrika Gayatris, as we said. And as we said, the Pancharatrika system is that system which has been being followed for quite some time. And it comes from actually Pancha, Ratra, these five types of knowledge, which is the Vedic knowledge, the yogic knowledge, the mayic knowledge, mukti, and bhakti. Our greatest concern, of course, is bhakti. And we are followers of the Narada Pancharatra, which is given so much emphasis on bhakti. And therefore, the Vedic mantra is given, but also six additional mantras are given, which are the Pancharatrika mantras and the Pancharatrika Gayatris. And that is the system which we have been following from our spiritual master and from in our sampradaya, the acceptance of the Vedic mantra and the Pancharatrika mantras and Pancharatrika Gayatris. And although previously people would, and from previous ages, they would accept the Vedic mantra, and it was understood that people would be given mantra diksha, Gayatri mantra. But unfortunately, in the age of Kali, a Brahmin person was recognized previously as a Brahmin because of his birth. But in the age of Kali, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, unfortunately, in the age of Kali, we don't have any Brahmins, real Brahmins by birth. In the age of Kali, it is stated that everyone in Kali by nature is lower than Sudra. Therefore, in order to compensate, therefore we follow the Pancharatrika system, not the Vedic system. And the Pancharatrika system is by receiving these Pancharatrika mantras and worship of the Lord. And of course, in the age of Kali, the greatest emphasis is Kaliya Dosha Nidhe Rajan Asti Heko Mahadgana Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Bhajet. Then the age of Kali is compared to be like an ocean of faults, but it has one good quality. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Parambachet. A good quality, the redeeming quality for Kali Yuga is that even though it is an ocean of faults, by chanting this Krishna mantra, Mukta Sangam Parambachet, one can achieve perfection. So I said I wanted to read something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I was just kind of trying to introduce a little something which I felt is relevant. But this was I wanted to read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also relevant because, as we said, that acceptance of initiation and receiving the mantras at the time of initiation is an opportunity to become connected to the parampara. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this very beautiful reference about what does it mean to be connected to the parampara. Right? Sometimes we think, yes, just because I put on my Kanti Mala and I've given a spiritual name, I'm connected to the parampara. but it's not simply something external. An example is often given is just like you have some copper wire, insulated wire. And if you take two pieces of wire and you wrap tape around the insulation and you connect it and you look at, but nothing comes through. If you simply connect the insulation, but if the wire inside is not connected, there's no current. So similarly, if we want to be connected to parampara, it's not just externally, not just simply Kanti Mala, accepting name, but what's the internal connection? There has to be an internal connection as well. Although externally it may appear, oh, I'm connected, I have Kanti Mala, three strands now, not two. I'm connected. But it's not just that. It's not something external. So the real connection is the internal connection, which is, as we said, the following the instructions and following the parampara, being connected. Prabhupada says when the electric wire is connected to the powerhouse, the current comes through. But if at some point there's no connection, nothing comes through. Well, we want to be connected to the powerhouse and have that strong internal connection. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, in this reference, we're going to speak about what is the strong internal connection and what does it mean to follow the parampara. I could speak for a long time on this topic, but I have very limited time, so therefore I'm just going to try to read it and just briefly summarize it, and just simply to give you the essence of what does it mean to be connected to parampara. And this is from... This is from Sri Bhakti Loka, actually. Excuse me. Just take me a second to find it. Yes, here it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, after receiving initiation and instructions from a bona fide guru, a fortunate disciple should follow the path of the previous sadhus. Those who are proud neglect the previous Mahajans and create new paths. As a result, they soon proceed on their inauspicious path and ruin themselves. It is said in the Skanda Purana, Samvigya Shreya Samhetu Panta Santapa Varjita Anavapta Shramam Purve Yena Santak Patashtire. One should strictly follow the easy path which the previous Mahajans have accepted. That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you want to be safe, don't introduce something new. Follow the path that's already been set by the previous Mahajans. It's easier to do it that way. It's the easy path. Now, interestingly, we're going to hear what an example that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to give is an example of the easy path. He says that by discussing the path of previous sadhus, one gets determination, courage, and satisfaction. When we discuss the path of devotional service exhibited by Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Sri Raghunath, and Sri Haridas Thakur, then we feel such happiness that it cannot be described. When the miscreant Mohammedans tortured Haridas Thakur, he said, Kanda kanda hai deha yaya yadi pran, tabu ami varane nachari harinam, e sabha jivera krishna karaha prasad, moha drohe nahu e sabhara aparad. Even if my body is cut into pieces and I lose my life, I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. O Krishna, please be merciful upon these poor souls. Kindly excuse them for their offense of torturing me. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, maintaining this type of determination and being compassionate to all living entities while always chanting the holy name of Krishna is the path of devotional service exhibited by the previous Mahajans. A path cannot be manufactured. Whatever path is there should be accepted by sadhus. Those who are proud and want fame try to vigorously discover new paths. Those who have good fortune from past lives give up pride and respect the established path. Those who are unfortunate promenade on a new path and thus cheat the world. Summary. What's the easy path? And who does he give as an example as the easy path? Who did he describe? Who did he quote? Was that an easy path? Tell me, was that an easy path? What did Haridas Thakur have to go through? Beaten through 22 marketplaces? Right. Beaten. The attempt was to kill him. He was taken before the Qazi, told to give up chanting these names. And he was tortured. But he said, no. As we know that when Haridas Thakur was taken, he was taken into the prison house and he was told to give up this chanting. He said, you can cut my body to pieces, but I'll never give up chanting. Never give up. He was ordered to be beaten, was taken through the marketplace, beaten, 22 marketplaces. After 22 marketplaces, he still wouldn't die. And he was looking at his tormentors, and they were expressing, and he saw intense anxiety on their faces. Imagine, he saw anxiety on their faces. And asked, what are you in anxiety about? After being beaten through 22 marketplaces. He asked them, what are you in anxiety about? And he said, they said, we're in anxiety because we've been ordered to beat you to death and you won't die. And if you don't die, we'll be tortured. So Haridas Thakur felt compassionate upon them. Oh, you want me to die? Okay, I will die. Of course he didn't die. He externally, it appeared that he gave up his life heirs, but actually internally, because he was so connected, externally he appeared to be giving up his life heirs, but internally he was chanting the holy name of the Lord. Externally, he appeared that he was not living anymore. But he was simply absorbed in the holy name. And then, being totally absorbed in the holy name, when the tormentors said, oh, finally, he's dead. They tried to lift up his body. He was very heavy. Couldn't carry him. And took so many people to lift him up and to carry him. And then they said, oh, good. The Qazi said, good, throw him into the river. Throw the body into the river. So finally they were able to put his body in the river. And when his body was in the river, flowing down the river, he came back to external consciousness. He came back on the shore, came up on the shore, and just continued chanting, as he was always doing all along. So, and yet Bhaktivinoda Thakur is using Haridas Thakur as the easy path to follow. Why? And he says there are three symptoms of what it means to follow the previous Mahajans. What are they? Determination. Never give up chanting the holy name of the Lord. And compassion to other living entities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this in so many of his different bhajans. Kabhi habi bolo se dinamar, aparada guchi shuddha namaruchi. He talks about how to become freed from the offenses of chanting the holy name of the Lord. When he begins to experience, heart becomes purified, he begins ecstasy, experiences a taste for the holy name of the Lord. And then I will set out to fulfill your order sublime by giving everybody, by being compassionate to all living entities and giving them the holy name of the Lord. This is our parampara. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's the easy path. But why is it easy? It sounds like if this is what we have, you mean I have to be tortured? And that's the easy path? Is this what it means to follow the previous Mahajans? Is that I have to be tortured? I have to be thrown in the river? I have to be beaten? If this is the easy path, I'm going to look for something that's easier than that. I'm not going to. But why is it easy? It's easy because we have the previous Acharya's example to take shelter in. That's what makes it easy. They achieved perfection. They showed us the path to follow. They accepted the austerities. They accepted the difficulties. And by meditating on them, what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur says? We become enthusiastic. We get strength. We get courage. We get satisfaction. By meditating on our previous acharyas, what did they do? We get strength. Right? We get why? Because we see that, yes, it was something very difficult that they had to follow, but they achieved perfection by accepting it. And what are my difficulties in comparison to what they had to undergo? What are my difficulties in comparison to what Prahlad Maharaj had to undergo? What are my austerities in comparison to what some of our previous... They're not. Somebody neglects me. What our austerities, in comparison, they're not so great. But yet, look at their austerities. Look at their sacrifices. I get strength. Just like, where was it? Was it here? I was telling the story about Shuddha Maharaj. I don't know, I can't remember.
Chicago.
I was in Chicago. I lose track. I just, simple example, my own experience. Can I speak a little bit more? Just a little bit more. And then, we were going to have the yagya at 12:30 anyways, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You can continue to
12:30.
Huh?
Continue to 12:30. Anyways, we'll chant a little bit afterwards. I just wanted to tell this little story. My godbrother, Shuddha Maharaj, as many of you may know him, he departed in 2004 in Mayapur, association of many of his godbrothers. He had liver cancer. And he specifically came to Mayapur. He wanted to be in the association of devotees. He wanted to be surrounded by devotees chanting the holy name. And he also wanted to take part in the installation of Panchatattva that were installed that year. And my relationship with him was such as that he used to like my kirtans, and he would invite me sometimes to come and have kirtans with him. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm making it very short. So when he arrived at Mayapur, I embraced him. I told Maharaj, because he invited me to come in his room. He wanted to have kirtan every evening in his room. And he said, "Will you come and will you chant for me in the evenings?" I said, "Maharaj, you know, 24/7, whatever you want, I'll be there for you." He was having his kirtans in the room every evening. Devotees were coming. And he wasn't very healthy at that time. He was bedridden a lot of the time. And a lot of the time, he would just simply have to lie in bed while all the devotees were sitting in the room having kirtan. And he would dance with his arms. Go back and forth with his arms while he's lying in bed. And this way he apologized to the devotees, "I can't dance, but please accept my arms as method of dancing." And I would go every night, although I wasn't leading kirtan every night. And one night, because the GBC meetings were going on that time, and one night I had a very terrible headache after the meetings. And I said, "I don't think I could go. Not to the meetings." So I wrote a little note and I gave it to his servant, Mayapur Das. And in the note I said, "Maharaj, please forgive me, I have a terrible headache tonight. I'm not going to come and chant. I'm going to go back and rest." And then I started walking back to where I was staying in Mayapur. And I was began meditating. And just by thinking of Shridhar Maharaj, I was thinking, Maharaj is lying in bed every night having kirtan with liver cancer. He's taking shelter of the holy name. And all the devotees are there, and I have a headache. What's my headache in comparison to what he's experiencing? Just by meditating on him, immediately I realized, what is my headache? And I immediately went back and I said, "Oh, forget taking rest. I'm going to go to the kirtan tonight." So then I opened the door to the room and Maharaj was lying there. The devotees were having kirtan. Maharaj had already read my note and he looked up at me and he said, "Oh, Naranjana Maharaj, come on in." And the room was full. I didn't want to disturb any of the devotees. He said, "No, come." And he sat up in the bed and said, "Sit here." I didn't quite understand what he wanted me to do. I thought maybe he wanted me to lecture to the devotees or something like that. So told the devotees, "Make room for Nandaranjana Swami," and a little path. I walked in, I sat on the bed, and then Maharaj turned to Mayapur and said, "Give me the tiger balm." You know what tiger balm is? It's for headaches. He took the tiger balm, put it on his hand, and he started massaging my forehead. 10-15 minutes he sat there just simply massaging my forehead. He was thinking about my headache. He's lying on his deathbed and he's thinking of my headache. I'm Vaishnava. This is Vaishnava. He's feeling compassion. Right? He's taking shelter. We need examples like this, don't we? It gives us strength. It gives us strength, gives us courage, enthusiasm, determination. That's what Bhaktivinoda is saying. Take the easy path. Take the path that has already been set by the previous Mahajans. It'll make it easier for you. But if you think, "Oh, it's very difficult," you think the easy path is not to follow the path of the previous Mahajans, to make up something that doesn't require the austerities, doesn't require the shelter of the holy name of the Lord, doesn't require being compassionate to others, doesn't require determination. It's easier.
the path of least resistance. It may look easier, but if you want the same destination as our previous Mahajans, you have to follow their path. If you want their destination, what they achieved, you have to follow their path. And their example is to make it easy for us. That's what their example is there for. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, follow the path of the previous acharyas, the easy path. And therefore, he emphasized, what is our previous acharyas established? What are the three principles? Determination, incessantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, never give up chanting. Haridas Thakur says, cut my body to pieces, I will not give up chanting. Well, sometimes we hear, well, there's some inconveniences we have to undergo, but actually we have to have our determination. But of course, sometimes we may slip. We understand, devotees may slip, they may have difficulties. But we have the examples to give us strength so that we don't give it up. We have to know what is the goal. We have to know this goal. So determination, chanting, and then compassion towards others. Real compassion towards others means to give them the holy name of the Lord, to give them an opportunity to come in contact with the devotees of the Lord, to give them Krishna consciousness. This is compassion. Prabhupada says, compassion for the dress of the drowning soul is not real compassion. Real compassion, to rescue them, is to give them something tangible. Krishna says, Yayidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva bhajasati. For one who explains the supreme secret of devotional service to others, for him devotional service is guaranteed. The ending comes back to me. Nachatasman manushishu kaschin me priyakritama. He says, there's no servant in this world more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be one more dear to me. This is the path. Being compassionate, give others the opportunity to hear and chant and to hear the glories of the Lord. And ourselves to remain strict and following our vows, Krishna consciousness, and be very determined to always continue chanting the holy name of the Lord. Shraddha, Shraddhe, Vishvas, Kahe, Suchi, Dhanishchaya. Shraddha means firm, confident faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, my subsidiary duties can be fulfilled. Right? That is, all subsidiary duties can be fulfilled. Sometimes even devotees ask me, they ask me the question, Maharaj, how do you find time for chant? I have so many other things to do. I'm so busy. I have this and I have that. So much pressure. So many things. And usually, it's a common question that sometimes devotees will ask me. And I usually say, do you find time to eat? And I'll say, yes. I'll say, why? I have to. If I don't eat, I'll become weak. Oh, I see. If you don't eat, you'll become weak. So what makes you think? What will happen if you don't chant? What makes you think you'll remain strong? You'll become weak. And spiritual strength, Nayanmatma Bala Helena Labhya. Prabhupada used to quote this verse, Bala means spiritual strength. Nayamatma bala hanenya labhya. One requires spiritual strength. He says, this verse from the Mundaka Upanishad says that one who doesn't have spiritual strength and whose austerities are imperfect, then he cannot achieve Krishna. He cannot achieve Krishna without spiritual strength. So if we want spiritual strength to achieve Krishna, then, well, just as we find time to eat, we have to find time to chant. Spiritual strength will be there. But if we neglect, we become weak. Of course, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the example in his Madhuya Kadambani. He gives the analogy that sometimes a person may lose the mercy of the holy name of the Lord
due to Shidaya Dabaya, weakness of heart. And he may lose his taste for chanting, and he can't chant. He has become spiritually weak, and he suffers because he can't chant. He compares it just like a person who is, has a very high fever. If a person has a very high fever, he can't eat. It's the nature of high fever. This is a person who's also, right? Do you want to eat when you have high fever? You can't. You can't put it down. He says, but when a person has very high fever, he suffers from that high fever, and in due course of time, when the fever starts coming down, starts coming down after suffering for some time. He says, he doesn't start eating a feast again. He can't. Right? Just like if your fever is high, what's high fever? I'm on the metric system. I spend all my time in Europe. 40 is high. What's it? What is it here? I forget. 101? 101. 101. Okay. 101. So we have 101, 102. Very high. So it comes down to 100. So we think, oh, now it's 100. I'll eat pizza and ice cream. You can't feast. You can't feast. You can't eat opulent foods when you still have fever. When it starts to come down, you have to take a sick man's diet and you have to take proper medicine. Right? Sick man's diet and proper medicine means you take maybe bland food, very bland, small amounts, and you eat enough so that you can get enough strength to continue fighting the disease, and so the fever will come down and, along with your medicine. And then when the fever is all the way down, then you can eat normally again. So in the same sense, he gives this analogy, says, just like a person, he may lose the mercy of the Lord. He has no taste for chanting, but he suffers. He can't chant. So he may not be able to do everything. He may not be able to chant all his 16 rounds. He may not be able to absorb himself and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But he looks for that which gives him strength, nourishment. Pushti. Everyone needs nourishment. Bhakti Parashana Bhava Viraktya Anyaisha Chaisha Tika Eka Kala. Prabhupada used to quote this verse, devotion, direct experience of Krishna, and detachment from material things. These three things come simultaneously for a person who's engaged in devotional service. Just as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person who's engaged in eating. The analogy is there. Everybody can relate to this analogy. Everybody's experienced eating before. When you eat, right? When you eat, there's some pleasure. When you eat, there's some nourishment. And not only that, when you eat, you know your hunger is going away. You don't ask somebody else, is my hunger going away? You know. With each bite, you know my hunger is going away. In the same way, for a person who's engaged in devotional service, if he knows he's engaged in devotional service, how? His devotion is increasing. He's experiencing Krishna's presence more in his life. And he's seeing that just as a person who's eating, seeing his hunger is going away, he's seeing that he's losing his attachment to material things. Then he knows. Right? Bhakti Parashana Bhava Virakti Anyaisha Chaisha Chika. Right, these three things come simultaneously for a person who's engaged in devotional service. So there has to be some pushti, some nourishment, tushti, some satisfaction. Right? Then one can understand that he's making some progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is the kind of nourishment that we need in order to become strong and to make progress in Krishna consciousness. This is, anyways, this is a little bit about the point that Bhaktivedanta Thakur has given here, that in order to get strength, then we have to follow the example of our previous Mahajans
and to get enthusiasm, strength, determination, and satisfaction from hearing about them and from remembering them. And in this way, we can hope to become connected properly to the Parampara and make progress by their mercy, by the mercy of the Holy Name, and by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Actually make progress towards the goal, which is what one should want to achieve by being connected to the Parampara. There's a goal. It's not just getting three strands of Kantimala, and it's not just getting a spiritual name. Prabhupada said, initiation means the beginning. Sometimes people think means initiation is the end. Right? Of course, you'll very quickly discover it's not the end. If you think it's the end, then unfortunately, you may lose out on the opportunity that's been given to you at the time of initiation, which is to actually make the connection and make progress and make it spiritual advancement, if you think that initiation is the end. Therefore, it's meant to help us, to give us strength, to make vows before the spiritual master. And it is important. Ato gurum pranamayvam sarvasvam virivedya cha. It is the duty of every human being to take Vaishnava initiation. This verse is actually quoted from one of the Puranas. So we should aspire for it, but we should make sure that our faith and our connection is strong so that we don't give it up. We should never give up that chanting upon accepting. You know, sometimes I ask devotees when they're accepting their vows of initiation, I said, I'm not just checking your memory. I say, what vows you take initiation? And they have to think back. They memorized it before the initiation to make sure they didn't make any mistakes. I said, I'm not checking your memory. Anybody can memorize what the four vows are at the time of initiation. I'm asking, what vows are you taking at initiation? So it's not just remembering them. And one has to have enough faith that I can make these vows. It's not a cheap thing. I can make these vows. If one actually has that faith, strength, and has enthusiasm, determination, that may be there. But then, if I want to make progress, I have to stay in the association of devotees and learn how to get strength from them and learn how to take instruction for them, and as we've been speaking about in our previous talks elsewhere, learning how to dadati patagrinati guya makyati prichati bunte bojayate chaiva sadvidham piti lakshanam. Then we have to learn how to associate with devotees so that we can have this kind of spiritual exchanges and get strength in their association. Thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity to speak on this important topic. I believe we're going to have a fire sacrifice now. And as we said, fire sacrifice will be for these devotees who will be taking their Gayatri mantras today. We spoke a little bit about the mantras that they were accepting. And it's 12:30. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.